And it was good to be in the presence of God, wasn't it? Praise God, hallelujah, and to worship Him. Always take advantage of every opportunity you get to worship the Creator of the universe. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I was messing with our thing over here because we have a lot of air conditioners throughout the school and the gym side and all over the building, but they're all on they're online. But this one is not. So you can't do that with your phone. And so that didn't get switched with the time change, you know. Yeah. And so that's why I was fiddling with it up there. Don't forget this this coming Wednesday, we're not going to have a service because of the Thanksgiving holiday. Allow you to spend extra time with your family and enjoy them. And always give thanks. Can you say amen? Amen? Praise God. So it's good to be with you. And I am excited about the Word of God this morning. Can you say amen? Amen. So our main text this morning is found in 1 John chapter 3, verses 14 through 16. 1 John chapter 3. But before we read our main text, let me remind you of some things that Jesus said and others said. But you know, Jesus said this in Matthew 5:44, that this is really, really has the potential to be life-changing for people. You know, Jesus said, love your enemies, bless those who curse you. Now think about that. We know that scripture and we get used to reading it, but think about that. Somebody's your enemy and they're cursing you. What does it mean they're cursing you? That means they're bad-mouthing you. That means they're talking about you. That means they're saying things, to gossiping about you, saying things about you that aren't true. Criticizing you to the boss, criticizing you to your friends, saying half-truths about you and all these, they don't like you. And so they're saying these evil things against you. And, you know, it threatens your welfare, it threatens your well-being because people might believe those things. Your boss might believe those things. Your friend might believe those things. So he says, bless those who curse you. Amen. And then Jesus said, do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you. The word spitefully there means if somebody's mistreating you or abusing you in some way. And then Jesus said this, you know, in John 13, 34 and 35, he said, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you. Now notice that. Love one another as, let me say it to you this way, or even as I have loved you. Jesus, the Son of the living God, commanded us. He didn't just make this a suggestion. He commanded us to love one another just as or even as He loved us. Well, can we do that? Well, obviously we can because He commanded us to do it. He would be unjust and unfair to command us to do something that we didn't have the ability to do. So we are to love like God loves. We are to forgive like God forgives, and we're to love one another, even as Jesus loved us. That's what the Word of God says. So can we do that? Can we really love others just like Jesus loves us? Yes. And then on top of that, Romans 5:5 says, the love of God, let me say it to you this way, the God kind of love, the love of God, or the God kind of love, has been shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Spirit. See, when you were born again, you were born of God. God's very life, His very nature, and His nature is love, came into your spirit. And so you're born of love. Hallelujah. That's why Galatians 5 says, the fruit of the reborn human spirit is love. So can we love our enemies? Can we bless those who curse us? Do good to those who hate us and pray for those who mistreat us and love one another just like or even as Jesus loves us? Well, we can't do it in the natural. You can't do it with natural love. Natural love, that's not the way natural love acts. You see, natural love, if somebody loves you, then you love them back. But if they do you dirty, then, you know, then you're not going to reciprocate. You're not going to do them kindness, and with natural human love. You know, natural human love says, I'm not going to turn the cheek. You slap me, and I'm going to slap you back twice. You know, no. Anyway, so we cannot love this way if we let our flesh dominate us, even though we're born again and even though the love of God's on the inside of us. But because we have been born again. Anybody born again in here? Because we have been born again. And God's love, that is agape love, is in us. We can do all of these things. And we can obey His command. Because again, God would not command us to do something that we don't have the ability to do. Glory to God. So Jesus said, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another. Amen. And then I like this in Romans chapter 13. You know, verses 8 through 10, this is from the Amplified Bible, the New Amplified Bible. It says, owe nothing to anyone except to love and seek the best for one another. Amen. For he who unselfishly loves his neighbor has fulfilled the essence of the law relating to one's fellow man. So what he's saying is, owe no one anything except to love them. King James, you know. In other words, we always have a debt of love. We never can pay that debt of love. We owe love to everybody. We always love to everybody. Amen. And I like the Amplified Bible because it says, because it's trying to get across what agape love is, divine love. You know, agape is the word we find in the Bible that's used to express God's love. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4, you know, where it says love, and it gives all those different characteristics of love. That's the Greek word agape. Everybody knows what agape is, God's agape love. So in trying to express agape love, the Amplified Bible says, love and seek the best for one another. And then it actually makes a rare footnote on that. It says, the key to understanding this and other statements about love is to know that this love, the Greek word agape, is not so much a matter of an emotion as it is of doing things for the benefit of another person. Amen. That is, having an unselfish concern for another and a willingness to seek their best. Amen. That means you have to sacrifice some things in order to bless them. So it goes on to say, the commandments, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment. See, Jesus said, a new commandment I gave you. Why did he give us a new commandment? Because he said, if you keep this commandment, you won't break any of those other commandments. If I love you, I won't steal from you. If I love you, I won't cheat you. If I love you, I won't talk bad about you. If I love you, I won't do one single thing that would ever cause harm or hurt to come to your life. So if I walk in love, I'm fulfilling all the commandments. Amen. Jesus had a new commandment. And then here it tells us that new commandment fulfills the law. You should not steal, you should not covet, and any other commandment. And there are other commandments, are all summed up in this statement. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. It never hurts anyone. Therefore, unselfish love, agape love, divine love, the love of God that's on the inside of us is the fulfillment of the law. Can you say amen? Now, with that in mind, let's look at our main text, 1 John 3:14. He says, We know that we have passed from death to life. He's talking about passing from spiritual death to spiritual life. See, a spiritually dead person is separated from God. They're alienated from God. They don't have God's life and nature on the inside of them. And what happens when you're born again? You pass from death, spiritual death. A sinner is a spiritually dead person. Amen. If you're saved, you're spiritually alive. You have God's life on the inside of you. So we know we have passed from death, our spiritual death, unto spiritual life. How do we know that? Because we love the brethren. That also means the sistren. So we love the brethren. We love everybody. He who does not love his brother remains, abides in death. If you don't love your brother, then you don't have eternal life in you. You've never been born again. Verse 15, whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now verse 15 again says, whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Many, 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 many years ago, this probably goes back to the 50s, Brother Hagin was preaching a message. And he used this scripture, Brother Kenneth Hagin. He used this scripture, you know, whoever hates his brother is a murderer. And when he said that, tongue in cheek, you know, that means if you say something tongue in cheek, you know, that means you're saying it sarcastically and humorously. But he didn't realize it. Later he realized he wasn't just trying to be funny. He actually said this by the Spirit of God. And you'll see that very clearly in a minute. But he said, whoever hates his brother is a murderer. And Brother Hagin added, you know, tongue in cheek, he said, and that includes mother-in-laws too. Amen. My title today is, Don't Hate Your Mother-in-Law. But you know, titles have to be short and concise, and you can't really say everything you want. I mean, I'd like my title to be a paragraph and a half long, you know. My real title, my real message better, is Don't Hate Your Mother-in-Law or Your Brother or Your Sister or Anybody Else. Amen. Don't hate anybody. I mean, don't hate anybody. Can you say amen? See, because if you really, really hate somebody, I mean, if you hate somebody, this scripture says you're not born again. You've never passed from death into life. You don't have eternal life on the inside of you. If you hate somebody, yeah, it may not be true here, and it may not be true in other circles where people have been properly taught, but it's not uncommon at all to hear Christians say, I just hate old so-and-so. You ever heard a Christian say that? I just despise them. I can't stand them. I don't want anything. I loathe them. In other words, I hate them. Christians. Well, if you do, you've never been born again. You may go to church every time the doors open. You may serve on the board of trustees. You may be a deacon. But if you hate them in your heart, you've never been born again. That's what the Word of God says, didn't it? I said, didn't it? I said, didn't it? Amen. Keep listening, please. And understand this, the word hate means to despise something, to loathe them, to have an intense dislike for them. But dictionary, it also means to be hostile towards somebody. You ever been hostile towards somebody? In other words, you don't have much use for them. They treated you wrong, treated you dirty, and you're just like, I just ain't got any use for them. You ever have any hard feelings toward anybody? Well, is that hate? If you hate them, then the Bible says you've never even been born again. Keep listening, please. The other dictionary, if you have ill will or bitterness towards someone and don't want to see them blessed, would like to see something bad happen to them, you know? So if you're mad at someone, if you're upset with them and have ill will toward them, do you hate them? Somebody says, well, look, Pastor, I don't hate them. I'm aggravated with them, and I'm mad at them, and I'm upset with them, and I ain't talked to them in the last 3 years and don't intend to talk to them, and I got some bitter feeling. I know I should forgive them, but I'm not, but I don't hate them. Well, let me ask you this. If you're mad and angry at them and upset with them and have hard feelings toward them and have some sort of resentment toward them and haven't forgiven them, is that love? Well, certainly it's not love. I said, certainly it's not love. I mean, if you're holding something against somebody, if you envy somebody, if you're unkind to somebody and you're mistreating somebody on a regular basis, amen, and you're impatient with them and have hard feelings to them, you know, 1 Corinthians by itself, and there are many, many scriptures that talk about love, but just those four verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, known as the great love chapter, they say that love is patient. And love, that's agape. God's love, divine love, is patient. It's kind. Love doesn't have an angry disposition. Love doesn't hold anything against anybody. It keeps no account of the wrongs done to it. Love is not envious. Just that one chapter. So again, if you have any kind of ill will or bitterness or hard feelings or malice or anger toward another person, then that's not love. Well, if it's not love, then what is it? I mean, at the very least, is some form of hate, isn't it? To one degree or another, it's the realm of hate. It's some kind of expression of hate for somebody. Are you out there? Yeah. Amen. Amen. And this scripture says, if you hate someone, you're not even been born again. You never passed from spiritual death to spiritual life. Well, now, Pastor, like I said, I don't hate them. I just don't love them like I should. Okay, let's go back and read verse 14 again. 1 John 3:14. We know we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother remains in death. Doesn't have eternal. So you say, well, I don't hate him, I just don't love him. Well, if you don't love him, then the Bible says you don't have eternal life in you. Somebody says, you're confusing me. I know I'm born again, but I've had some hard feelings toward people. I didn't confuse you. You were confused when you walked in. You just didn't know it. I'm just shedding the light on the confusion that was there. Let me help you out a little bit, all right? You want me to help you out a little bit? Glory to God. Hallelujah. No, you see, if you're born again, you do not hate anybody in your spirit, in your heart. You do love your enemies. And your spirit, your inner man, the real you, is willing to forgive anybody. I don't care what they did to you. You're willing to be kind to them. You're not envious and jealous and impatient and so forth with them. But if you feel like you hate them and you don't want to forgive them or have any kind of hard feelings or bitterness toward them or mistreating them in any kind of way, it's because you're allowing your flesh to dominate you. It's because you're letting your unrenewed mind and your feelings and your emotions and your flesh dominate you. You're not walking in the Spirit. If you was walking in the Spirit, you would love them and forgive them and bless those that curse you and do good to those who hate you and love your enemies, and you'd pray for those who spitefully use you. See, so a lot of Christians sometimes, they're born again. They've accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. They're born again. They pass from spiritual death into spiritual life, and the love of God's on the inside of me. They just got it caged up there on the inside there, and they're just letting their emotions and their flesh dominate and control them. But how many of you know we're not supposed to do that? So yes, you're born again. Praise God. Hallelujah. You knew that anyway, didn't you? But you was maybe thinking about it. Amen. Amen. But... understand this, because this is where we're going here. So you are born again, but understand this. When you hate somebody, when you're not walking in love toward them, if you're mistreating them, it's not just forgiveness. If you're mistreating them, you're not walking in love toward them. If you're envying them, you're not walking in love toward them. Certainly if you have bitter feelings and hard feelings of some kind toward them, you're not walking in love to them. And when you hate somebody or when you're not walking in love to them, you do open the door to the devil in your life, and you give him a legal right to move in. And what does John 10:10 say? Jesus said, "I've come to give you life and life more abundantly." But the thief, the devil, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. You don't want the devil doing any stealing or killing and destroying in your life, do you? How many of you like the devil to come in and steal and kill and destroy your finances? We don't want him to steal and kill and destroy our homes, our marriages, our families. We don't want him to steal and to be able to kill and steal and destroy in the mental, emotional realm. We don't want him to be able to kill and steal and destroy in our physical health, do we? But you see, if we're not walking in love, doesn't mean we're not born again. If we've accepted Jesus Christ, that's the only requirement, that you truly accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. But it means you're just not walking in the Spirit, and you're letting your flesh, your body, your carnal nature rule and reign over you. But if you do that, yes, you're born again, but the devil has a legal right to move. What do you mean when you say a legal right to move in? That means that you can pray, and you can have me anoint you with oil, and you can use the name of Jesus, and you can make faith confessions, but he'll just stand there and say, "The door was wide open. I came in. I've got a legal right to be here, and I'm not going anywhere." Even though you're using I don't have to obey you because I've got a right to be here. Because you're breaking the only commandment Jesus gave you. That was to walk in love. Are you listening to me? Now, when Brother Hagin said that, in that message, he said, that includes mother-in-laws too. There was a young couple in the audience. The couple were both in the ministry. I mean, you know, they went to a church. They believed in women preachers. She was an ordained minister with papers, along with her husband, both in the ministry, young couple with a couple of young kids, you know. And so they went out to eat together. You know, you do that sometimes. Brother Hagin went out to eat with this young couple. And so this woman, who's a minister herself, she said, "Boy, you kind of worked me over tonight. You kind of messed me up." And he goes, "Well, what are you talking about?" He said, "Well, you read that scripture, and you said that includes mother-in-laws too." And he goes, "That's right. If you hate your mother-in-law, if you hate anybody, then you're a murderer and you don't even have the love of God in you." He goes, "What's your problem?" She said, "I hate my mother-in-law." He says, "Well, if you do..." See, he knew, just like I just explained, he knew that she really didn't hate her. He knew that she was just letting her flesh dominate her. He knew, you know, that she was just letting her carnal nature dominate her. But he also knows, just because I know that truth, just because I see the truth, just because you see the truth, doesn't mean I say it. See, you can see it, but if you're going to help me to see it, sometimes you kind of have to string people along a little bit and then come in and rescue them. You got to help them see the truth. So he said, "Well, if you do, then you're a murderer, according to the Word of God." Of course, she knew the Bible. She believed the Bible. And you're not even born again. You've never even been born again. And so she's like, well, I mean, she's confused, you know. She's upset about that because she recognizes the truth in that. And You know, and I don't know if you realize it or not, because in this day of everything having to be politically correct, but going back in the day, like my generation, and, you know, Margaret's and Gary and Judy's on the front row there, mother-in-law jokes abounded. How many of you know that? I mean, every stand-up comedian in the world, one of his favorite things was to spend a few minutes on mother-in-law jokes. And there are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of mother-in-law jokes. And you know why? Because sometimes mothers-in-laws are stereotyped, and sometimes they were. Now, not my mother-in-law, not Gary's mother-in-law, Margaret and Judy's mother. My mother-in-law was the best. Huh? Not your mother-in-law. Because that she's sitting right there. But my mother-in-law, I mean, she loved us. She was for us. She was on our side. You know, she wasn't, you know, Billy, their dad, said, well, what are y'all doing? So now, Billy, leave them alone. They're doing what they think is best for their family. She was really, he loved us too, but she was really for us. But you know, some mother-in-laws, and the reason they tell the jokes, have been stereotyped as being overbearing, obnoxious, meddling, and unattractive. And so a lot of, how many of you know what I'm talking about? So nobody knows what I'm talking about? You never heard a mother-in-law joke? You know? I mean, it was common when I was, you know, you might hear somebody might come to work, you know, and they might be looking down and sad and say, what's the matter? Your mother-in-law move in with you or something? You know? But anyway, this woman, you know, and sometimes mothers don't think any wife is good enough for their little son, you know. And sometimes mothers don't think any man is good enough for their daughter. And so sometimes, you know, I've over the years, I'm 70 years old, over the years, we've seen some situation where the mother-in-law really was troublesome in a marriage. And, you know, I'm a counselor. I counsel a lot of people. I've dealt with people. I dealt with a woman who's close to 50 years old, and she talked to her mother every single day of her life for an hour or two, and her mother ran her household. Well, you can imagine that caused problems. You can imagine her husband didn't like that. I mean, she's close to 50 years old, and the mother's trying to still run their life. And so on a few occasions, we've seen some very, very, very difficult situations. Amen. And this woman, you know, her mother-in-law had really been hateful to her and criticized her and given her a hard time, as we say. Ever been around somebody that they just gave you a hard time? Some boss, some friend, just every time you got around him, well, she really mistreated her. And so she just said, I just hate her. I just hate her. I just hate her. Brother Hagin said, well, if you do, you're not even born again. Like I said, just because she realized she didn't really hate her mother-in-law wouldn't help her. He had to get her to see it. Well, Brother Hagin, again, he knew what her real problem was. He knew she was saved. He knew he didn't hate anybody, but she was just letting her flesh control her, like I said. But he knows he needs to get her to see the truth. So she said, now, Brother Hagin, I saved when I was just a little bitty girl, you know, just a young girl. And I got filled with the Holy Ghost, and I speak in other tongues. And he said, it doesn't matter. If you hate your mother-in-law, then you're not even born again. Now, Brother Hagin, I went to Bible school. You know, went to 4 years to Bible school. I'm ordained in the ministry. My husband and I are in the ministry. I have papers. I'm ordained. Doesn't matter. I don't care. If you hate your mother-in-law, you're not even saved. Well, she's really, you know, he can see that he's got her now, you know. So he said, let me get you to do this. He said, I want you to do something for me. He said, look across the table. You know, remember they were eating together. He said, look across the table, stare me in the eye and say, I hate my mother-in-law. But when you do, check up on the inside. How many of you know you got a conscience? Your conscience is the voice of your spirit. Check up on the inside. Check up in your spirit. So she just leaned across the table, looked him dead in the eye, and just boldly said, I hate my mother-in-law. He said, now what happened on the inside? She said, this is the way she put it. She said, well, it's like something scratching me down there. In other words, I said that, but I'm bothered that I said it. He said, that's right. You are bothered that you said it. The reason that you're bothered that you said it is because that violates the love of God that's in your heart, and your heart's trying to get your attention. Your heart's trying to constrain you so that you'll obey it instead of operating in the flesh. And so she saw that. She understood that. You know, yeah, I am born again. Whew, that was a relief. You know, I am born again, but I'm walking in the flesh, but it just feels so real. And I have all these feelings like I do hate her, all these emotions of hate toward her. So what do I do? So Brother Hagin said to her, and I'm going to quote this to you. Listen to this very carefully. This is life-changing. Please listen. He said, what do I do? What do you do when you just feel like you can't forgive somebody? What do you do when somebody's giving you a hard time and you're having a hard time with them and you don't want to love your enemy? You don't want to bless them because they're cursing you. You don't want to do good to them because they're doing evil to you. What do you do? He said, let the love that's on the inside of you dominate you. Don't let your thinking, he meant your natural thinking, your mind unrenewed to the Word of God. Don't let your natural thinking dominate you. I don't care what your head says. Your mind sometimes can think and say some awful things. How many of you know that's true? Your mind can sometimes think and say some awful things. Don't let your flesh dominate you. Crucify your flesh. Yes, that hurts, but crucify it. And act from your heart. Please listen carefully. Act just like you would if you loved her. Just go ahead and act like you love her, even though apart from your feeling. Act like you would if you loved her. In other words, if you felt like you loved her, because you really do love her. He had to say that 2 or 3 times to her. Act like you love her. She said, what? Act like you love her if you did love her, because you do love her. No, I hate her. Act like you would if you did love her, because in your heart, in your spirit, you're born again, and the love of God shed abroad in your heart, you do love her. So act out of your heart. Quit acting out of your old ugly head. Quit acting out of your old fleshly nature. Act out of your heart and just go ahead and treat her right and talk nice to her and forgive her and don't hold anything against her. So act like you would if you did love her, because you do really love her. The way out of the situation is to walk in love even when your flesh does not want to. The way out of the situation is to walk in love even when your flesh does not want to. So let's listen carefully. Did I mess that up or something? Walking in love means acting in love. Say that with me. Say walking in love, means acting in love. Now this is so important. You all agreed with me. Well, nobody, you don't want the devil to have legal access into your life to steal, kill, and destroy in any area, do you? Then you got to get this straight. This is the only commandment we have as a New Testament Christian. Walk in love. When it comes to personal relationships, you see. Amen? Love is not just a feeling. How many of you ever heard anybody say that? That love is not just a feeling, but it's a decision, act of the will. You know why people say that? Because Jesus and the Bible commands us to love one another. Jesus and the Bible commands us not to have hard feelings against anybody. Jesus and the Bible commands us to forgive one another. Have you ever had feelings and emotions that said, I do not want to forgive them? That's why it's not just a feeling. Because we're commanded to do it. Amen. In other words, the very fact that we are commanded to love and forgive makes God's love in us more than a feeling, more than emotion, because you don't always feel like loving that person. You don't always feel like forgiving them. You don't always feel like doing them good when they're treating you evil. So the key, everybody say the key. The key to victory in this area, so that you don't give access to the devil in your life, is to in faith, choose to love them and forgive them and be kind to them. And here's the mistake people make. They're hurting on the inside because somebody stabbed them in the back, because somebody betrayed them, because somebody said something bad about them, because somebody did them dirty, because somebody slapped them. You know, Jesus said, turn the other cheek. That means, you know, somebody's done you dirty in some way. And nobody likes that. You know, why do you say turn the other cheek? Well, because we forget to turn the other cheek means that hurts. It was embarrassing. You didn't like it. It's very insulting to slap somebody. So when somebody does you dirty and does you wrong, you see, the pain, the hurt, the anger you feel because you're being treated so badly and unfairly, listen to me, will begin, everybody say begin. It will begin to leave only after you in faith act on the word and forgive them. See, people make the mistake. They think God's asking them to work up some feeling or emotion. And He's not asking you to work up any feeling or emotion. He's just asking you to obey His word. And if you're waiting for the hurt to leave and the pain to leave or some feeling to come before you act on the word, then you probably won't ever act on it. You're saying, yeah, but I'm hurting so bad. I'm so disturbed. I'm so mad about this. You got to remember back to times when somebody was treating you wrong, how you felt. But again, glory to God, your emotions will begin to heal after you act in love and forgiveness toward the person that wronged you. You got to get that. Can you understand that? Amen. Well, you know, this woman and they're all at the church together. Of course, she's in the ministry. Her in-laws come to a little social they're having. Brother Hagin's there. This is several days later, and this woman walked up to Brother Hagin because she did what he said. She says, you know, you're right. I don't hate my mother-in-law. He said, really? He said, you know, there's been some misunderstanding and some hurts here and so forth, but she said, I don't hate her or any of my in-laws. She said, these are fine people. These are fine Christian people. They love the Lord. I don't hate her. I don't hate her at all. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, there's more to the story here. This woman, this young minister and he's, you know, and her husband, they had a couple of children. Their youngest daughter at age 2, because of the problem she was having, they took her to the doctors and it finally ended up with a doctor that specialized in seizures and epilepsy and so forth. And this doctor said, in 38 years of practice, this girl has the worst case of epilepsy I have ever seen by far. Because this little baby girl would, you know, she'd have these signs and symptoms, and she'd kind of go into this preliminary attack, and that might last 15 or 20 minutes, and then she'd go into a terrible seizure. And then Brother Hagin chimed in and said, I noted, because we saw the little girl, he said, I noticed she didn't seem right. You know, she just didn't seem right mentally, seemed to be mentally slow. You know, she's like 3 years old now, seemed to be mentally slow and very uncoordinated. So a few days go by, he's still at that same church, and he gets a phone call from this minister's wife and said, before the meeting, which was very unusual for him, she said, my daughter is going into one of those preliminary attacks. She's about to have one of these seizures. Would you come to the house and pray for her? And Brother Hagin said, yes, I'll come. I'll come and pray for her. So as he's over there driving to go to the to pray for the little girl. Of course, Brother Hagin's noted for his healing ministry, noted for praying for the sick, and noted for getting results. But as he's driving over there to see her, you know, the Lord begins to deal with him and reveal things to him and show him some things. Of course, we've all had that happen. You know, just down in your spirit, you're not hearing a physical voice, but the Spirit of God's revealing things to you and showing things. And so he has no idea why, but the Lord starts quoting to him Old Testament scriptures that in essence say, you know, they're really a combination of Exodus 15, 26. You don't have to look at that, but in Exodus, and also Exodus 23, 26 and 27, and this is in the Old Testament where God said, and this is what he said to Brother Hagin, he said, you know, in the Old Covenant, with my covenant with Israel, the covenant I made with Israel, we're under a new covenant, but he said, the covenant I made with Israel under the Old Covenant, I told them, listen, if you will obey my statutes and keep my commandments and obey my rules, then I will be your healer. I will take sickness and disease away from the midst of you, and you'll fulfill the number of your days. There's one of those scriptures. There's another one. For I am the Lord who heals you. Of course, Brother Hagin's like, well, yeah, I'm familiar with those scriptures. But then the Lord said to him, this is what was life-changing for him and can be life-changing for you today. The Lord said to him, glory to God. He said, paraphrasing that in New Testament terms, you can put up Exodus 23, 25, and 26 for them to see too if you want to. He said, the Holy Spirit said to Brother Hagin, paraphrasing that in New Testament terms, under the new covenant, see, nobody could keep all the rules and regulations. That's why Jesus came and died on the cross. But in New Testament terms, the Lord said to him, if you'll obey my commandment, Jesus said, this is my commandment, the new commandment, to love one another. If you love one another, you fulfill all the laws and regulations. He said, in New Testament terms, the Holy Spirit said to him, if you'll obey my commandment of love, I'll take sickness away from the midst of you and you'll live a long life. Made that connection. I like to throw in something Andrew Womack said. You know, his commentary on that verse says, you know, in New Testament terms, we can't obey all the rules and regulations and commandments. Nobody did. We were all sinners and guilty and on our way to hell. He said, in the New Testament, that means if you'll have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So putting those two together, if you'll have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and obey His one commandment to just make sure that you love everybody, then I am the Lord that heals you. I will take sickness and disease away from your midst and you'll fulfill the number of your days. That means you'll live a long time on the earth. Under the New Covenant. Well, Brother Hagin's like, okay. And then, but then the Spirit of God said to him, said, when you get to the house, he said, don't pray for the child. Don't lay your hands on the child. Tell the mother just what I just told you. Just, you know, tell your mother that. And then tell the mother, say, point to your child and say, Satan, I'm walking in love. Now, she hadn't been just a couple of days before, but she said, turn to the child, point to the child, say, Satan, I'm walking in love. Now, take your hands off my child. And so Brother Hagin got there, explained to the mother what the Lord said to him. He said she immediately turned to the child, who was at that very moment having an epileptic seizure, and said, Satan, I'm walking in love. Take your hands off my child. And instantly, like you snapped your finger, the seizure stopped. Not only did the seizure stop, but that little child was perfectly restored and perfectly healed in every way and in every area of her life. Glory to God. As a matter of fact, the Hagins saw this couple 5 years later at another meeting, you know. And when they saw this child at the meeting 5 years later, they said, well, how's your baby? And they said, she's the smartest girl in the class. She said she has the highest, you know, they take IQ tests. She's the highest IQ in the whole school, and she's never had another problem, never had another seizure. And Brother Hagin said, because he understood how the devil operates, he said to her, he said, what did the devil ever try to put it back on her? The woman said, oh, yes. She said, two different times in these 5 years, the symptoms started to show up. We recognized them. We knew what they were. She said, and I instantly turned and said, see, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. But not if you're not walking in love. So she said, I turned to the devil and I said, no, you don't, devil. No, you don't, devil. I'm walking in love. I'm walking in love. Take your hands off my child. She said, two times that happened and the symptoms disappeared. And then many, many, many years later, I don't know, you know, maybe 25, maybe 30, but in 1991, because this probably happened in the 50s or 60s, but in 1991, Brother Hagin saw this couple at their annual camp meeting in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And she said, your baby girl, I said, never had another epileptic seizure. Never, 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 never. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Isn't that a wonderful story? But that story and those truths are not just to say praise God because that little girl got healed. That story is for you today. That story is for you. It'll work for you just like it'll work for her. Glory to God. I said, would you bow your head, please? Just bow your head. Glory to God. Andrew Womack said, our blessings are dependent upon our faith in Jesus. We don't get what we deserve. We get what Jesus deserves. Listen to that very carefully. Again, bow your heads, close your eyes. Our blessings are dependent upon our faith in Jesus. We don't get what we deserve. We get what Jesus deserves. So because you have faith in Jesus, and because you're keeping the New Testament commandment of love, Satan has no right, no legal right to afflict you in any way. Now listen, please listen. That doesn't mean he won't try. See, even if he doesn't have a legal right to attack you, he will still try to attack you. He will still attempt to steal, kill, and destroy things out of your life and hurt you and make you sick and make you broke and destroy your relationships and break up your home and so forth. He still tries, you see, because he's like a criminal. They don't have a legal right to come steal your car, but you have to enforce their defeat. So if they come and try to take something from you, you call the police and you don't let them do it. So if you're walking in love, the devil still may come and try to hurt you or in some way. But if you're walking in love and you have faith in Jesus Christ, then you don't get what you deserve. You get what Jesus deserves. That's New Testament terms. And God says, I am the Lord your healer, and I will take sickness and disease away from the midst of you. Glory to God. So, amen. Anybody can do what this woman did. So let me ask you this question while every head is bowed and every eye is closed. Do you hate anybody this morning? Let me put it to you in a different way. Are you walking in love toward anybody? Amen. If you're walking in love, then you're in a position to run the devil off. Is there anybody you need to forgive? Don't drag up anything, but if it's there, you know, deal with it. Is there anybody you're not walking in love toward? You know, we always talk about, I got to forgive them because they treated me so dirty. But we need to turn that coin around and realize that we're not to be doing anybody else dirty either. Is there anybody that you've done wrong? Anybody that you've mistreated? Because if you're doing that, you're not walking in love either. Amen? Is there anybody that you have hard feelings toward? Now, if not, good. You're perfectly qualified this morning to run the devil out of your life and to keep him out of your life. But I feel, I don't do this often, but I feel impressed this way right now. Again, every head bowed, every eye closed. Don't drag up anything. The reason I say this is because the devil's a master trying to condemn people over past sins that they've already been forgiven for. But can you just simply say, Lord, is there anybody that I need to forgive? If there is, Holy Spirit, just reveal them to me right now. Don't drag up anybody, but if he shows you something, deal with it. How do you deal with it? You say, Lord, forgive me for not loving them like I should. Forgive me for disobeying you. I forgive them. I refuse to hold anything against anybody. I refuse to hold the least bit of ill will or animosity against anybody in the name of Jesus, and I let it go. I forgive them in Jesus' name. And I thank you that you've forgiven me. And right now, I'm walking in love. Right now, I'm walking in love. I'm walking in love. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. Amen. Amen. Now stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for being patient. I know I'm a little long this morning, but thank you for being patient. Stand up. Are you walking in love? You already accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, so you got faith in Him. Do you believe His Word is the truth? Say this. Say, Satan, I'm walking in love. So take your hands off my home. Devil, I'm walking in love. So take your hands off my health. Take your hands off my body. Take your hands off my finances. Take your hands off my job. Satan, I'm walking in love. Glory to God, I qualify. So take your hands off my mind. Take your hands off all my affairs. In Jesus' name. Glory to God. Now give him praise and thanksgiving that he has. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. 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 I don't have anything against anybody. Don't care how bad they've mistreated me. I love them. Because I love them, I'm meeting I'm obeying the only commandment Jesus gave me. And the devil doesn't have a legal right to do anything that Jesus redeemed me from. So now it's just a matter of me standing up and using my authority and say, get your hands out of that situation. Keep your hands out of that situation. Does that mean he won't ever show up? No, he'll show up. He'll try to, just like a criminal will show up and try to steal. You know, you ever had somebody use one of your credit cards and you had to change it and all that mess? You know, it ticks you up, makes you mad, doesn't it? Glory to God, but you enforce it. You call the bank and they put your money back in there and you change numbers. You don't just let the thief keep stealing from you. You stop him in his tracks. That's what you have to do with the devil. That's why the Bible says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Glory to God. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Well, I'm through. That's all I've got. But somebody had a birthday and Brother Doug wants to tell us about it.
Well, praise God. Yeah, we just want to honor Miss Margaret. She had a birthday, was it last week?
Yeah.
Something like that, last Saturday?
Saturday.
Anyway, yeah, I think Saturday. She turned 39. Something like that.